soup. Dishing up tasty morsels of tarot wisdom and other oracular tidbits with your hosts, Katrina Nguyen and Gina Thies. Two saucy sisters broadcasting from the magnificent Oregon coast and from deep in the heart of Texas. And inviting your questions about tarot, oracles, counseling skills, reading advice, and more. Be sure to visit our website at oraclesoup.org to listen to our podcast archive. You can also visit us on Facebook and like our Oracle Soup page, where you can share your wisdom and request for Oracle Soup topics. Soup is hot now, and it's ready to be served.
Welcome to Oracle Soup. This is Gina Thies, and I'm here with my dear pal,
Katrina Nguyen. Yay! Out in Oregon.
And welcome to another edition of Kitchen Table Conversations. We are really ecstatic, is the word, about who we have at the kitchen table with us this episode.
Oh, yes. We all sat down for tea, and we're very civilized.
Dignity! Dignity!
Yes. And this is a person we have been wanting to have a conversation with for some time, but she's such a busy gal, it's really tough to kind of sit her down. And she graciously put a little time aside for us when we were at SF Bats, right?
That is true. It's Madame Philosa Therese. We are so, she's so fun. I think this is going to be a good one, right? This is going to be a really, really good one for us. But yes, it's been a long time coming, and I'm so glad that we had an opportunity to sit down and have her in our kitchen.
Absolutely. And one of the things I know that Gina and I both appreciate about Philosa is that she not only has an incredible history with knowledge about tarot and has been organizing the longest ongoing conference, which is BATS, or SFME, San Francisco BATS, Bay Area Tarot Symposium. But she is such a generous person. She puts together not just a conference, but it's a party. And she is Ms. Personality. What can I say? This woman is overflowing with personality and opinions that I actually happen to very much agree with.
Well, she is theatrically trained and a great actress. She puts she's involved in the Dickens event.
Dickens Fair, I think.
Yeah, the Dickens Fair there, which I'm dying to go to. And she does the best improv talk off the cuff that I've ever seen. But
she's one sharp pencil.
She's
there.
A sharp pencil. I mean, she can really hit, but she's also fun. I interact with her daily online. So
on Facebook. Now, also, I believe, is she the organizer or one of the organizers for PantheonCon?
Yes, she's involved in that as well.
Well, with no further ado, shall we go on with our fabulous kitchen table conversation on Oracle Soup Podcast with Philosa? Welcome back, our Oracle Soup friends. And we're having a delightful cup of tea, and we've invited a very, very interesting friend with us today, haven't we, Gina?
Yes, we have, Katrina. I'm so thrilled and excited. I can't contain myself because this woman knows how much I love her. So it's really hard.
You do know that, don't you?
She's laughing, but that's okay. She needs to know that I this is the effect that I have on people. But we have Madame Philosa Therese with us in the kitchen at the table.
Yoo-hoo!
Welcome, welcome, welcome. And we're just going to be talking about, we don't know where this is going to go, because we say we plan things in a sense.
Yeah.
But not really.
You know what? Well, let me just say some of the things I love and admire about Philosa. And then I'm talking about her like in the third person, like she's not here, but she's right here in front of me. I can see how gorgeous she is. So here's the deal. You know, I've always enjoyed your presentations, your mind, the way you think. You're a person in the tarot world who kind of breaks out of the molds, doesn't create new ones, is trying to encourage people to break out of their own molds and to bring new material to the foreground in whatever way possible. So I think rather than us setting a topic, I'd love to hear what you would like to talk about.
Don't say aspic. Speaking of... So, the spiritual aspects of aspic.
I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. Yes, I can riff on anything.
Yeah, let's do that, because that's very important for people to know.
Let's not say
that. I'll go, let's talk ingredients and aspects. She'll go, no, that's not.
I could do that. That's the thing.
Wherever you want to go.
I am a born improviser, and I am a native iconoclast. I've never met an icon. I didn't want a clast. But seriously, I think we get so bewitched by the map that we forget the journey. We get so enthralled with the tool, we forget about the task. And I have no patience with this, as you can probably tell. I'm not the most patient person. And when people start going, oh, well, tarot is this or tarot is that, and it's like, no, that's just, the tarot has survived as long as it has survived because those images stimulate people, and they make people think, and they make people change, and the images change over time, and the tarot of 1910 is not the tarot of 2015.
And not only the people that read tarot are not the people of 1910, we have, for the most part, progressed, evolved, developed ourselves, and so you're going to get, as it still progresses and people evolve, get a little bit of differences in what that is. And I agree with you on the images. They're composites to me. I look at them as composite hieroglyphs.
Well, I think we forget the origins of tarot at our peril, because it started as a game, but not like Old Maid. This was, you know, these were intelligent, leisured people showing off their knowledge, sharing their knowledge, building, as we do in tarot conferences, where we just start building and riffing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing that in the course of a game. You see it in Castiglione's Courtier, where everyone's sitting around and they're drinking and they're posing and they're flirting, but they're also sharing information. That's what the Renaissance
was about.
We now have, more of us have the leisure, more of us have the opportunity, more of us have the education. So we are not unlike those people.
Right.
But we're doing the same thing. And I do believe that humanity is with all the brutality and all the dreadful stuff that's happening, I do think we are progressing. And in some cases, the issues that we're dealing with now about race, about gender, about sexism, about those sorts of ageism, ableism, you know, pick an ism.
Yeah.
Until you pull that Band-Aid off, until you really look at it, you cannot solve that problem.
That's true.
And mm-hmm. So when you get people creatively talking, linking, networking, connecting, that becomes a very powerful thing.
Yes. And now that makes me think of the internet. You know, when we, and I think we can include you, Gina, got started with tarot, we didn't have the benefit of the internet. I know I had to search. I looked in magazines. I looked for little ads. I looked for whatever newsletter I could get a hold of, or what kind of school I could get a hold of. But now we have the beauty of being able to network with people and yet at the same time try to keep it real. That's what's beautiful about, for instance, things like tarot conferences.
Oh, yeah.
Where those of us who've been connecting on the internet, now we can get together. I'm from a Native American background, and I always think of it like our summer powwows, because summer powwows is where we come together, we dance together, we exchange foods, we exchange beads, you know, supplies, and
shiny objects.
Beads. Who doesn't like a good shiny object?
But it's the coming together of the tribe, so we can exchange with each other. Sometimes people exchange bloodlines, you know, because one person will switch over to another area. So I think they're essential for that kind of changing and exchanging and bringing in what's new and new energy and evolving.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happens. And at this, during the age of, you know, internet and technology, we have access to unprecedented information that we can share and swap and just immerse ourselves in from all over. And, you know, in terms of the evolution, somebody that is higher up, because you can't see me motioning my hands, when you connect with someone that is considered not there, that's what you do. You bring them along, or it kind of happens by osmosis, maybe?
I think so. Humans, we're wired to do that. We're wired to connect like that. And that's why I think gatherings in what I call meat space, real time, real life, are so important, because we're meant to connect physically and emotionally and spiritually, and you can only do so much of that on the online. I've been doing this almost 50 years. I started as a small child. But it was hard. It was difficult to find stuff. It was difficult to... I started very young, so it was like, hey, Mom, I can't... You know, I'm going to go to Berkeley to Tarot class tonight. Like, right? And my mother was like, what?
But you did it anyway.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my mom.
My teacher was the cards. It was
very
like,
good.
You know, what do you think? You know? And that, that was important. And I think, again, going back to that thing that we get so enthralled with the system, when people go, oh, well, you know, it's obvious it was Kabbalah, or it was obvious. It was like, no, it's not obvious. You know, you're reverse engineering. And that's a good idea for, you know, certain things. If you need that set of training wheels to get you going, that's great.
That's
your
carrot.
If you want to hang things like ornaments on the tree of life, you know, look, here's a shiny Sephira. You know, it's great. Go ahead and do that. But there comes a time where you have to face what those cards are doing for you. I think ultimately any oracular operation or tool becomes part of your DNA. It becomes part of your essence. Yes. And because of how, and science is now proving this, so it's true. But
they're rediscovering it,
Oh, it's one of my things. It's like, oh, science proves it, so
it's true. It's on the internet, so it's true.
Metaphysics.
Exactly. And, you know, just that idea that the way we are wired to be tribal. And that's both a good thing. You know, we come together, we do these wonderful things, these things happen. It's also got the downside. You know, a lot of the strife and conflict that's happening in parts of the world is that same tribalism.
Right.
And so, you know, we really need those melting pots where people can set aside one form of tribalism for a more healthy and holistic, for lack of a better word, tribalism. Because it's not going to go away. We cannot change human nature. As much as people love to say that, we have to work with what we've got. It changes. It grows. You can do things with it. But the bottom line is that there's certain things about being human that we need to take into account.
And you're talking about the tribalism. And what's interesting about the evolutionary jumps is, like, now, and I think starting about 30, 40 years ago, you're getting more of the holistic aspect of people teaching these. It doesn't mean that the tribalism goes away,
right?
But you do kind of step it up. It's happening. And not everybody's going to be on board at first, but it's like, this path has been treaded, so I'm just cutting it out. So when you're ready, just come on.
Yeah.
You know, just come on. So everybody's at these levels.
Yeah, some of us go through with a machete. And
But back to the idea of, I'm with you, Floss. I pretty well was self-taught, too. Didn't even consider doing a reading for anybody for 20 years, you know. And the Tarot was my friend. And so when I think about the things you're talking about, the Tarot teaches us those things, too. It teaches us how to evolve. It teaches us how to transcend duality. And so the more we, as a group, study Tarot, if we're truly open to it, the more we open up anyway.
Right.
The more Tarot-like we become.
Right. Well, we also change. Everything that has a human fingerprint changes. So I always lose patience with people. This unbroken lineage. No, everything changes. I mean, look at what's happening in Lenormand. There's this tradition of Lenormand. But now it's almost a given that every new deck is coming out with two men, two women, to address the issue of how we partner. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, tell me there is something that has existed unchanged for any length of time, and I will call expletive deleted and just say, no, not so. We change, we grow. You know, it's like, even like medicine, healing, everything changes according to what we need at the time.
Mm-hmm. And who has access to it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're getting into something that I was thinking about. The only kind of form of interview question I would say is, you know, as someone who has facilitated one of the longest running conferences
the
for
longest,
Tarot.
The Aussies.
Yeah,
the Aussies, and there's an Australian conference that's done at they started the same year I did.
Okay. Trends, changes, what have you seen? What is what's the constant? Like, I gotta go because I can't. Is it just the networking? And then what is it that you have to say, okay, 24 years later?
24 years later, yeah.
Yeah. What and we are talking about the Bay Area Tarot
yes.
Symposium.
So it's like, what you've done some wonderful things, and I've certainly shown up. It's like, I can't miss that. What is the thing that people take away and need from it? And then what have you seen as in terms of trends or something that started out 24 years ago that it has kind of dissolved and went away? What do you see?
I
just kind of curious.
There is less reliance on dogmatism, which I happen to think is a great thing. People are exploring their own systems. They're also not afraid to explore the oracular impulse.
Which I love.
Well, yeah,
yes.
I mean, it's like people in the West, since about World War II, maybe just before World War II, stopped accepting divination as just part of life. You know, I refer to old Halloween cards and even Christmas cards where you have, you know, people, you know, tropes, fortune-telling tropes. Right? Mm-hmm. So you can deduce from that, and books from that period, you can deduce that people considered, even if it was a little weird or a little wiggy, whatever, it was just part of the thing. But with the march up to World War II and the post-war period, there was an increasing reliance on science and logic.
Yes.
And the linearity and rationality, and a lot of that stuff got shunted.
Yes.
Away.
Yes.
And so if you look at other cultures where divination traditions are strong,
mm-hmm.
remain strong,
yes.
You know, we're creeping back to that. And even when I first started doing bats, I noticed that people, I would always slip an extra divination form in wherever I could and say, see, that didn't hurt. And now people, in fact, for a couple of years I did the thing plus besides bats called Divination Fest.
Mm-hmm.
And it never took off because, in fact, a couple of times we had liver divination.
We divination. Need a liver divination.
I can do
entrails
this.
Class.
I can still make this happen.
We must have found that.
Well, you just go ahead.
I can make, believe me.
No, seriously.
But Divination Fest, back when I did it in the 90s, didn't fly because people were still like, it's tarot, it's astrology, it's palmistry, it's not. And so what's happened since then is people are more interested in the oracular impulse and the data that's coming rather than the system. And people more interested to get their fingerprints on even an established system like Lenormand or Tarot. So I think that's really good. It's like we're hacking divination. And I think that's good. And I think divination is becoming more mainstream. I mean, you see, like, I have a pink Ouija board that was made for preteen girls. And it's one of those things where that would have been understood at the turn of the 20th century.
Right.
And then fell out of fashion, and now it's just a cute and clever thing. And I think that's important because we're beginning to understand that our conscious mind can only do so much, can
and
only
that's
take
true.
Us so far.
That's true.
And when you get out of that realm and you get that vast realm where we're all connected, where we're all picking up more data, we're processing. A lot of what we call intuition, a lot of what we call psychic phenomena is really that vast part of our mind that isn't entirely verbal behind the conscious mind that's processing so fast.
Yeah.
That's piecing things together much more quickly. The forebrain is slow and stupid, and it thinks it runs the show.
Well, you know, science thinks intuition is just another form of communication.
Neuroscience, they're really discovering a lot of things.
I just read an article where it's another form of how our body communicates. When you think about
another topic.
Fight or flight. right. It's like we're being, it's a part of our communication and all of that
you
stuff.
You have a brain in your gut.
Right, right.
Yes. You have a legion of bacteria that are cooperating with your cells. You are not just this autonomous, separate, compartmentalized individual. You are part of this huge matrix, and you're connected to people. And we are on the verge of a whole new way of looking at how we connect, how we live. Mm-hmm. And I think that those of us who work the oracles are on the forefront of that.
I agree. I'm going to wholeheartedly. Part of it for where I've been and just the track that I'm studying is that it is a backtrack to the magical age of where we were connected to the shamanism and the and you know we did that before anything else, but somebody came along and said, oh no, there's only one god.
Yeah.
So I agree
damn
with that.
Now we want to get all political and talk about matriarchal versus patriarchal, but well, we won't go down that.
No,
it doesn't have anything to do with that. That's one of those man-made separation things.
I'm talking about honoring the feminine in each of us,
and we're working back to that.
I think
I think the upheavals on race, on gender, on ableism, on the dynamics of
nature.
I think we're fighting our way back to that.
Just want to say, I think that's because we're returning to not being so separate anymore. It's not about separation. We're going back into oneness.
And that's why we enjoy offering you Oracle Soup and these kitchen table conversations, because we're coming back to oneness. And we want to expose you, the listeners, to all these beautiful messages from our brothers and sisters and sisters and brothers.
Well, you know, I just appreciate you for taking the time to come on in the kitchen with us and stopping by and having a little something with us. I get really excited, so I have to calm myself, or Katrina has to calm me down. But
I like to think of myself as the lentil in your soup.
Oh, the lentil.
Oh, yes, the lentil.
I'm the lentil in your soup.
Okay, I might pick that out, and have some okra instead or something like that.
I can be okra. Okay. She can be okra.
All right. So
she can be slimy or she can be crunchy.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Thalassa, for being here with us. We have really had a great time. Hopefully our listeners have too.
And there'll be more information about how you too could attend BATS, the Bay Area Tarot Symposium. And it'll be at the bottom of our page here at our oraclesoup.org website.
She does more than that. She does readings. She does classes. So we'll have
writing a book.
Yay!
Yes.
Yay!
Sort of. And I'm going to be starting my blog again. I'm running two blogs, Travels with Thalassa, which is a WordPress blog that I let go for a while. I'm going to be starting that up. But I also am hoping to revive something that I barely started and had a set aside called Tarot Pundit, where I have opinions. I'm not afraid to share.
Yay.
Bring it.
Yes, bring it.
I'm going to say bring it, because, you know, yeah, I can take it. And the other thing that we have, you know, I am a member of is DOD, the Daughters of Divination. Yes. And there is a great Facebook group. It's not for everybody, so we have to just be careful what happens and who, but...
It has its own special language.
That's my brain break place of okay.
Yes,
like yeah, it's like I gotta need this. This is hilarious. So, thank you for having that space and keeping it going, because a lot, as you can tell,
more silly in our lives. I really do.
Yeah, completely. And people have to understand slack and silly. It's like really, this is silly. Quit doing your stuff in here. This is not the place for that. Yeah. Just move on. You know.
Well, on that note, let's all make a silly noise.
Look at that. Different voices.
Thank you for spending time with us on Oracle Soup. We invite your comments and podcast suggestions on our Facebook page, also called Oracle Soup. And be sure to visit our website, oraclesoup.org, for hot new servings of our saucy talks. You can also subscribe to the feed burner or listen to our pantry of Oracle Soup archived recordings, along with articles and links to more resources. And be sure to visit our personal websites to receive more information about us and the things that we offer individually. For Katrina, visit tarotcounseling.org. And counseling is spelled counseling.org, like in Oregon, O-R-G. And for Gina, visit tarotadvisor.com. An advisor is spelled A-D-V-I-S-O-R. This content and the content of these podcasts are intended only to provide a summary and general overview on matters of interest. It is not intended to be comprehensive, nor does it constitute legal advice or legal opinion. This content is intended, but not promised or guaranteed, to be current, complete, or up-to-date, and should in no way be taken as an indication of future results. You should seek legal or other professional advice before acting or relying on any of the content. And thanks again for listening to Oracle Soup. Y'all come back now.